Every time I read the gospel for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, the first sentence always gets my attention. St. Paul talks to the Corinthians about the gospel which he preached to them, which they have to believe if they want to be saved. And he says this in such a way as to encourage them to adhere to what he taught them. And this always gets my attention because this is exactly what we are doing today when so many other people have left the faith, including those who are supposed to be the rulers of the Catholic Church. And whenever you talk about religion with your family or friends or someone that you meet out in public, if you tell them that you are Catholic but you don't recognize the new church as the Catholic Church, they always look at you like you're a little bit crazy. And sometimes they'll even say, "So you think the Pope is not the Pope?" And it's always important to correct them and say, "No, I think that Jorge Bergoglio is not the Pope." Obviously, it makes no sense to say that the Pope is not the Pope. It's also very important to make sure that they understand that we don't reject the papacy, as some heretics have done, like the old Catholics or the Eastern Schismatics, who look a lot like Catholics because they have kept a lot of the externals of the Catholic faith. You have to explain that the office of the Pope and the bishops still exist. In fact, it's a doctrine of the faith that these will continue until the end of time. It's just that they are being occupied by usurpers. I think it's hard for a lot of people to make this distinction sometimes, partly because it's probably the first time that they're being exposed to this idea, but partly also because people who don't have the faith tend to think in terms of the natural world and the senses and externals, rather than in terms of the eyes of faith. They see a man who dresses as the Pope, who calls himself the Pope, he lives in the Pope's house. Bergoglio doesn't live in the Pope's house, he lives somewhere else, which is another story. But he uses the same buildings that the Popes have used in the past, and they think that that's all there is to it. But they don't see that the office and the authority and the infallibility of the papacy are spiritual things that someone can only see with the eyes of faith. Everyone can see a man in a white cassock, even someone who doesn't have the faith. But only a Catholic who has the eyes of faith can see that he is endowed, or a true pope is endowed with unique spiritual powers that no other human being on this earth has. And that's why only someone with the eyes of faith can see when those powers are not there. When he has the outward appearances of being the Pope, but not the supernatural reality behind it. And if there's anything that we should learn from our faith, it should be that appearances count for nothing. It's the supernatural that matters. So if the man that the world thinks is the Pope doesn't want to believe in the Catholic faith, it doesn't matter what clothes he wears or what house he lives in or anything else. So we have to explain all of this to people when the subject of religion comes up. It's true that it is a lot easier just to say, "Well, I'm Catholic, but I don't think that Francis is the Pope," and let them look at us like we have three heads and walk away. And sometimes there's nothing further that we can do, but you never know when God might want to be using us to enlighten that person. So that's why we should always put our best effort into explaining the faith and the current state of affairs to someone who asks us, even if it seems like they think we're crazy. Maybe they do, but who knows if later on they might think about what we said and see that it's logical. But they can only do that if we explain as well as we can what we believe so that they have something to think about. If we just say, "Well, Francis is not the Pope," and walk away, then we leave them with very little, almost nothing. So hopefully if we're talking to someone like this, and if they're curious and they have an open mind, they'll probably ask us why we don't think that Francis is the Pope. And that's what I want to give you today, some answers to give to someone who asked you that. We have to start out by explaining what St. Paul says in the epistle, that we have to keep the gospel that has been preached to us if we want to be saved. A large part of the problem, again, is that people only see the external aspect of being a member of the church. People think that being a member of the Catholic Church is kind of like being a member of AAA. It's a club that you can join for a small annual fee. You get a card in the mail. And if you get a flat tire, they call you a tow truck. And that's about it. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you think or what you do. As long as you pay that $50 a year, you'll get your card every year and you'll continue to be a member. They don't care about anything else in your life. And people don't understand now that being a member of the church requires a lot more than that. It requires a lot more than just being baptized and calling oneself a Catholic. It requires someone to believe with unwavering faith all of the teachings of the Catholic Church. And if someone publicly doubts or denies a doctrine of the faith, they not only commit a mortal sin, but they also, and here is the key, they also automatically forfeit their membership in the church. And this is not only the teaching of the church, it's also the law of the church. It's incorporated into its official laws. So if a Catholic says something like, I don't believe in hell, or I don't believe that abortion is immoral, or anything else of a similar nature, if they were Catholic before, they have no sooner finished that sentence before they have stopped being Catholic, and they have automatically forfeited their membership in the church. So you have to explain all of this to your friend or your co-worker or whoever you're talking to. And if they object that Francis or anybody says that they're Catholic, just say, well, this is not AAA. It takes more than that to be a member. The Catholic Church is a religion with doctrines that her members have to believe, otherwise their membership is canceled automatically. So after you explain this, hopefully whoever you're talking to is still listening, and so the next logical step in the discussion is to demonstrate that Francis denies doctrines of the faith. You only have to open your newspaper to find plenty of examples of this, so I won't spend too much time on it. You can talk about how he allows people who are divorced and remarried to receive Holy Communion, which the Church has always taught, and it's in sacred scripture, that that is a mortal sin and a sacrilege. Or you can talk about when he said that atheists can go to heaven, or many other examples. Now, I don't want to give you the impression that we are having Mass in this chapel, separated from the institution that calls itself the Catholic Church, only because Francis says things that are against the Catholic faith. Of course, that by itself is more than a sufficient reason to make Catholics separate themselves from the new church. But there is much more to the story. Someone could tell you, Novus Ordo Catholic might say, well, just keep the faith in your own heart and don't worry about what Francis says. God will judge him for what he says, but it's not something that you should worry about. But this is not the correct Catholic response to heresy. Catholics have to separate themselves from heretics when they recognize them. And when these heretics formerly possessed authority in the church, notice I used the past tense because they lost their authority when they spoke heresy. But when they did possess authority in the church and no longer do so on account of their heresy, Catholics cannot obey them as the leaders of the church because they aren't such anymore. But as I said, there are much more endemic problems in the new church than what Bergoglio said last week in the newspaper. The new church has replaced the teachings and the sacraments and the rules that the church always had since the time of Christ, which it received from Christ. They changed the matter and form of the new sacraments, and even of the holy sacrifice of the Mass itself. Where Christ said in the Mass, or rather in Scripture, which is quoted in the Mass, that his blood would be shed for many, and by the word many he was referring to the people who would be saved, the heretics in the new church have changed it to say for all, which means that everyone is going to be saved, and that is a heresy. There are a lot of other things that are changed in the new church that we cannot recognize, or we cannot accept, rather, that a lot of people aren't aware of, but are still very important. The church always taught, as a doctrine of the faith, that every government has a grave obligation to recognize Christ and his Catholic Church as the true religion, and to give him public honor as such. And by the time of Vatican II, there were still a few countries in the world that still did that, mostly in Latin America. But Vatican II decreed that now it was immoral, it was gravely sinful for the rulers of a country to give legal recognition to the Catholic Church as the true religion, or to give any special legal privileges to the Catholic Church as the true church. Just a few years before the council, the church taught that it was a mortal sin for secular rulers not to recognize the Catholic Church as the true religion. But at Vatican II, it became a mortal sin to do exactly that. This by itself is evident proof that the new religion is a different religion from the Catholic Church, because how can the same religion teach that the same action will send someone to heaven one year and send him to hell the next year? That makes no sense. There's also the example of marriage annulments. Our Lord himself said that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And from his time onwards, in the new dispensation, he said that marriage would be until death, and this has always been the law of the church. He didn't say that this would be the law until the Second Vatican Council, when they changed the laws on marriage to allow people to get divorced, even though they call it a different name. Again, how can divorce and remarriage be considered something gravely sinful for 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years of Catholicism, and then suddenly it becomes okay as long as you fill out the right paperwork with your diocese? The same religion can't permit that. There are two different religions here. Let's take just one more example. It is one of the most essential points of Catholic morality that it is a mortal sin to participate in false worship, in the worship services of false religions. This is so important to God that you can read in the Old Testament how the Hebrews were punished very severely when they would commit this sin, when they would commit idolatry, and when they would worship in the pagan rites of the neighboring tribes who lived around them. And when I say that they were punished severely, I don't mean that they had to fast for a while as penance. I mean that, for example, God commanded thousands of them to be put to death when they worshiped the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai. And you can just read the Old Testament. There are many, many other similar examples. But at Vatican II, they said that now it's okay for Catholics to worship in non-Catholic rites. But it should be evident that a church that is true and is founded by God, it is the only means of salvation, cannot tell anyone that it is okay to participate in error and falsehood, as the new church does. But a false church can very easily do that, which leads to the obvious conclusion that the new church is a false church. There is a lot more to say on this subject, but each of the points that I've made is independently capable of proving that Bergoglio is not the Pope, and that the religion that he is the head of is a false religion, and is not the Catholic Church. So where does that leave us then? It leaves us where we began today, with the words of St. Paul. I made known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preach to you. So we will be saved if we hold fast after what manner he preached unto us. That is all we're doing, but St. Paul tells us that it is enough to be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.